5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily jab of truth.
If you do not secure the border now, you are giving up any argument you have for the American people to put their faith in you. Will Republicans honor their campaign commitments to secure the border? Yes or no? What I am seeing right now from my Republican colleagues does not give me faith that they will stand up in the breach, as did those men who stood on the wall at the Alamo. I am tired of words. Things are going to change in this body. For the very people who sent us here to change things, and they think that some of us are just going to go along for the ride, they are sorely mistaken. We will not.
The time has come, I've had enough, I'm taking back my land.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea. 3 hours of bold truth, excellence, and optimism for America. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back, my friends. Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio program. Remember, you can always get our podcast, Wendy Bell Radio, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And if you download us and give us a follow, we break up the show into 3 hour-long segments. They get whittled down to about 41 minutes. Super easy to take on the go, and we invite you to do so. It's great to have you part of the family. So welcome aboard. Having two kids in college, this story definitely resonates with me. But I think you don't have to have any children, let alone those this age, to be outraged. You know, outrage is a big word. Disappointed is not strong enough. How about disgusted? That's how I feel with this. So I have one kid in South Carolina University, or Clemson University, and I have one in Los Angeles at Loyola Marymount University. Both boys are independent thinkers. They make their own decisions. They registered to vote however they wanted to. I didn't ask them which party. I don't ask them political things. They know what I do, but it's not really the focus of our family discussions. They are free to absorb the world and see what they wish and make their own decisions. That, last time I checked, was what college is supposed to be all about, to give kids kind of a smorgasbord of options, like a cafeteria plan where you can get your plate and choose different things that you want to try, figure out what flavors, what studies you like and those that you don't, and maybe whittle down an idea of what avenue you'd like to pursue as a career. That was sort of what I thought the point was, but it's not anymore. So I set up this story, Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA. They're going to go to campus. They're going to go to UC Davis. They've got a group of Republicans, young Republicans on campus that said, come on in. They went through the requisite motions. They had to file an application. Can we please reserve this particular auditorium? We're going to also put up some pamphlets and inquire and invite other like-minded people and people who might not understand the message. It is about conversation, is it not? It's about collaboration. It is about figuring out what you think and who you are. And you get that by a diversity of opinions. Not anymore. This is Gary May. He is the chancellor of UC Davis. He put out a 3-minute video, which we have chopped into 6 different segments for you, because each segment is equally egregious, I would say. These people, educators, leftists by and large, purport to be open-minded. They want to have these brains in their seats, in their auditoriums, to expose them to the world. That's not really what's going on here. I guarantee you that Gary May never did any reading about Charlie Kirk, has no idea what Turning Point USA is, its values, or its message, because quite frankly, it's faith, freedom, and family. And if that's offensive to you, there's a door on the southern border that you're more than welcome to walk through. Here's Chancellor May, audio soundbite number 1.
Many of you have reached out to me and others regarding tonight's event organized by the registered student organization, Turning Point USA, or TPUSA, at UC Davis. Thank you for sharing your distress at a student group hosting a speaker who is a well-documented proponent of misinformation and hate, and who has advocated for violence against transgender individuals. As a campus that is committed to our principles of community, UC Davis stands with our transgender and non-binary Aggies in opposition to this hateful and divisive messaging.
Factually incorrect there, Chancellor. Charlie Kirk has never advocated for violence. They are an inherently non-violent organization. What they do is share the inconvenient truth that men competing against women is stupid. It is unfair and it disproportionately punishes who? Oh, that's right, women. You know, the women you have Title IX protections for, the women who make up more than half of almost every single student body at higher education institutions across the fruited plain. Gary, how dare you? There is nothing hateful or divisive about somebody who fundamentally disagrees with the notion that boys can pretend to be girls. That's called disingenuous. If that's the lie that you are allowing to spread across UC Davis, what the hell else are you people teaching? One can only wonder. That was his big excrement sandwich number one, but he's still walking, shoeless, down the road. Audio soundbite number two, he's going to backpedal a little bit. Look, we didn't want these people here. We're not down with what they're all about, but we're kind of stuck. Like, we've got to do what we got to do, but we don't like them any more than you do. We don't know anything about them, like the Don't Say Gay Bill. We're going to call it the Don't Say Gay Bill. We're not going to read what's in it. We're not going to read that it's totally logical because there's no reason anybody should be teaching oral sex to kindergartners, but we're gonna use these triggered words because we're so lazy, we're not gonna read, we're going to rage. Audio soundbite two.
UC Davis did not invite this individual and is not sponsoring this event. Our chief campus counsel provided me with information and guidance for campuses in this situation. First, the University of California policy permits registered student organizations such as TPUSA to reserve university facilities and invite speakers of their choice. Under UC policy, campuses may not prohibit student organizations such as TPUSA from inviting these speakers, even if the speaker's intended speech is loathsome and hurtful to me and to others in our campus community.
What is loathsome and hurtful, Gary? Do you really think it's loathsome and hurtful to stand up and push back against discriminating against women? Because we do. By the way, the only reason he talks about their counselors, about their lawyers, is because this cat went to his lawyers to see if he could stop the event from happening. So don't wrap yourself up in the First Amendment there, Gear, and don't pretend like you give a fat rip about the First Amendment. You boob. Your students deserve better. And audio soundbite number three. This is great. He's setting the scene. In the event Turning Point USA, you know, conservatives are often a very riotous group. We regularly torch police vehicles and we throw frozen bottles of urine at police officers and we loot and we rob people all the time. That's totally in the wheelhouse of common sense conservatism. Gary May here, the chancellor, is setting up his student body for violence on the part of Turning Point USA. They're ready for it, he says. What a joke. Go.
With respect to concerns related to violence, UC policy permits denial of requests if the speaker will present a clear and present danger to the campus. And council notes the policy explicitly states the campus carries a heavy burden in justifying such a denial under these circumstances. Our council also notes that there is a similarly heavy burden for criminal prosecution for incitement of violence. In short, while I abhor the inflammatory speech of this speaker, UC policy permits the student organization to invite the speaker. Please be assured that we are monitoring the event closely to determine if a threat or incitement develops that meets that threshold or violates other campus policies.
Wow, you're such a leader, Gare. Such a leader. What a guy. We're monitoring it. We got our best people on it. We're going to react swiftly. It'll be a multi-agency approach. I abhor what this... You know what the great response to that would be if I was there? I'd say, excuse me, Chancellor, what exactly has this individual... And by the way, do you know his name? What's his name? Guarantee you he doesn't know. What is it that he or his organization has said that you find so abhorrent? Do you have proof? Because clearly you must have proof. You're spending an awful lot of time with your lawyers trying to figure out how you can silence these people from coming to your campus, right? You clearly must be educated. He is not. He doesn't know squat. And this guy's in charge of a freaking university system. He goes on. While I'm against him, I love the First Amendment. Here's talking out of both sides of your mouth incarnate. Go.
I understand and share your objections to a speaker whose rhetoric is offensive and clearly intended to shock and provoke. As Aggies, we are motivated by a desire to do what is best for our diverse community and for society as a whole. But as a public university dedicated to the pursuit of deeper understanding through the free, open, and civil exchange of ideas, we must also support an environment conducive to the discussion of widely varying ideas and points of view.
We're going to tell you that those ideas suck, that they're abhorrent, they're dangerous, they're hate-filled, they're violent. But we love the First Amendment, and we're totally jazzed to have them here. You, sir, are shameful. You're a shameful lackey. You know what you are? You're a Democrat. What a shame. Don't you think the students there deserve better? He's just warming up because I got two more for you. And I'm going to drop it for you after I tell you about the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh. 10,000 people, 98% success rate. Do the math. That's a lot of happy people who've gone to Dr. Richard Rafferty. And they've been worried because their bulging or herniated degenerating discs in their back or neck have caused so much pain that their lives have changed. You know, there's no joy when everything you do is riddled with pain. But Dr. Rafferty has revolutionized something called intradisc neutrosis and allows your body to heal itself, allows those discs to regenerate so that you're not dealing with bone-on-bone vertebrae anymore. You're not getting those pinched nerves. Now, it is a therapy. It takes some time. But there are 10,000-plus people out there who say, thank goodness I did this rather than getting surgery. Changed my life. Go to PittsburghDiscInstitute.com, PittsburghDiscInstitute.com. Check out their many reviews. People have testimonials out the wazoo. And then make your decision and pick up the phone, 412-906-9600, 412-906-9600. Well, this Chancellor Gary May, he's sure knocking it out of the park. Sadly, he's not at the finish line yet. There's a really good chance he's going to fumble in the end zone. I'm telling you what happens next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. All right, so Chancellor of UC Davis, and by the way, I'm going to read you the apology from the Sacramento Bee, whose article about how terrible and hateful and noxious Turning Point USA is, prompted this Chancellor of UC Davis to make this video to talk to his freaking attorneys to see if they could shut down Turning Point USA coming to campus. How dare you? Freedom of the press. There is freedom of the press, and freedom of the press to suck. And the Sacramento Bee sucks. Audio soundbite number 5. This is where the chancellor is not so quietly encouraging protests and pushback and whatever else might happen, you know.
To the First Amendment, and we are required to uphold it. But just as we support students' rights to invite speakers to campus, we also affirm the right of students to freedom of expression and to speaking out against hate and discrimination. For us to refuse these rights to any of you would be in violation of the U.S. Constitution, the explicit policy of the UC system, and our own campus policy. We can't control how these groups operate, but we can work together to neutralize and negate their influence. We can deny them the responses and reactions they require to fuel their campaign of antagonism. Provocateurs like this thrive on conflict, so having to speak to an empty room would make a powerful statement.
So what happened? Antifa showed up. They broke and smashed windows. BLM showed up, of course. Why let a crisis go to waste, right? All these students came. They broke windows. They damaged property. They spray painted buildings on campus. Ooh, that's a backfire there, Chancellor, don't you think? Police had to call. They arrested, had to be called. They arrested two people. Why did all of this happen? Why did this chancellor stoke this fire? Because of the stupid, triggered leftist writer from the Sacramento Bee. Here's the headline. Sacramento Bee forced to apologize for false claims against Charlie Kirk that sparked Antifa riots. Apologizing Wednesday for publishing an opinion piece that made false claims against Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk, including the inflammatory accusation that he has called for the lynching of trans people in the past. They lied about that. And that guy, Gary May, who's supposed to be shepherding a flock of sheep on his campus, fell for it. Didn't even do his due diligence. There was no call to Charlie Kirk. I'm sure he could have gotten in touch with him, because you know what? That's what reasonable, rational people do. Hi, this is Chancellor May from UC Davis. Is Charlie there? Charlie, hi. You know, I know you're scheduled to speak here tomorrow night. I'm reading this article in the Sacramento Bee, and I'm deeply concerned about that, sir, because it says here that you've called for the lynching of transgender people. Did that happen? No, it didn't. No kidding. And that would have solved everything. But why would we do that when we can react? We can stoke the fires of hate. These aren't people on the right who do this. It's these noxious personalities on the left, helped by their friends in the media. The article was widely considered to be at least partly behind the violent Antifa riots reported on by Red State managing editor Jennifer Van Laar, which occurred before Kirk's Tuesday evening speech at the University of California, Davis. Two people were arrested in the melee. Kirk was furious over the allegations, calling them outright lies, and he should have. He tweeted out, "This is a lie. I have never called for the lynching of trans people. I have never thought that. There is zero evidence of that. I have always been clear about peaceful activism." Kirk threatened to sue the paper over the falsehoods, apparently. That threat was enough to make the publication think twice. The paper changed several words in the article and also had to issue a lengthy and embarrassing apology. I want you to hear the final comment from the chancellor, though, who spent zero time investigating the reality, zero time investigating what was going on, and decided to react rather than read. Audio soundbite 6.
Seeing a community united against hate, celebrating our beautifully diverse community, and standing together in support of our trans and non-binary Aggies shows those who would divide us how hopeless and futile their efforts are, and always will be. Let me reiterate that you are not alone in the concerns you have shared, and you have every right to express your thoughts and engage in nonviolent discussions and dialogue that challenge and condemn discrimination, hateful speech, and hateful actions. At UC Davis, we are resilient, vigilant, and we have the power to hold those who wish to engage us to the highest standards of civil and respectful discourse. We have the ability to critically assess environments we are creating for ourselves and others, and to work together to foster a culture of learning that is as inclusive and respectful as it is passionate.
He sucks.
And we have the courage and compassion to stand together and to take care of each other. As Aggies, this is who we are.
You know what? We demand an explanation from Chancellor Gary May. How dare you? You pick up the ball and you run with it. You're so interested in spreading this division. The division is caused by you, by the media, by Joe Biden, by his divisive cabinet, by every single measure that sucks. The state of this country is on people like that. I demand an apology. I'll wait for it, Chancellor. I'll cool down. Maybe not. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. Welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio Program. You know, it would be the calm, collected woman inside of me feels a need to apologize. I'm not going to apologize. Gloves are off. I'm done. We're not playing around anymore. If you're too lazy or too stupid to read something, Chancellor May, you should be called out for being an ineffective placeholder boob of a human being. And you should apologize. The students and Charlie Kirk and all of us who are conservative deserve your apology.
What is there to, if you're on the right, you're a conservative right now, what is there to apologize for? Because I think a man isn't a woman, and I think a woman should be protected. What am I saying that's so bad that I need to apologize?
No, I'm saying that Chancellor May needs to apologize to everybody he insulted by being too lazy to understand that he was fed a bogus bill of goods by, what? A newspaper reporter? Shut the front door. So before I get on to Dr. Fauci, because, you know, I'm already sour. I might as well kick myself in the gut, right? Maybe get an ovary punch in while I can. Oh, I want to read you this lame-o, brain-o, retraction kind of apology. Yeah, we suck because our agenda is to push left-wing activism that's not rooted in reality at all. It's rooted in rage and rioting, a la Chris Cuomo, who's going to make an inauspicious appearance in the program coming up. Who said riots are supposed to be peaceful? Super. So this is the mea culpa kind of sort of explanation for the author of said op-ed on the Sacramento Bee to apologize. Here we go. It says an earlier version of this column included a statement that Charlie Kirk had, quote, called for the lynching of trans people. The basis for this accusation is a video clip in which Kirk was upset that a trans woman had won an NCAA swimming championship. In the clip, Kirk said that instead of letting the women compete or letting the woman compete, someone should have taken care of the way we used to take care of things in the 1950s and 60s. Some trans advocates on social media extrapolated. See, it's never my mistake. Right? It's not not Fauci's mistake. No. Other people maybe did stuff. I've always kept an open mind. You're going to hear that line of BS rear its ugly head again here momentarily. Some trans advocates on social media extrapolated from Kirk's comments that he called for trans people to be lynched, an accusation the Bee repeated. But a review of the video shows that Kirk never advocated for trans people to be lynched. Well, no, duh. In fact, he strongly denies the accusation after the damage was already done. Good job, Sacramento Bee. Worthless hacks. These notes have been added to the column. The Bee regrets its comments, and we apologize for any misunderstanding this earlier version may have caused. Can't help but note they managed to repeat the allegation three times, however, in that retraction. See, it takes someone with character to admit when they've been played, when they've been conned, when they didn't do their research, when they didn't do their due diligence. There is a dearth of said character among the triggered. That is a fact. Antifa showed up on campus because of Chancellor May. That man should lose his job. Hey, how many conservatives have lost theirs for far less? I can name at least one that comes to mind. Well, two if you count Brock. But I roped you into that one. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was guilt by association. All right, we're going to switch gears now because it's Fauci versus the facts. And this is going to line up really neatly with this whole conversation. There is a tremendous sense of calm and confidence when you've done research, when you have become educated, when you have come to what you believe is a reasonable conclusion after looking at facts that have been presented in front of you. And that is what we strive to do. And I think that is what most common sense Americans strive to do on a daily basis. It's how we survive. It's how we thrive. It's how we grow. It's just not Dr. Fauci's wheelhouse. So we want to play this. And I'm going to bump Cuomo a second, but do you think, Brock, it's still appropriate to start it here, or should I bump that to the very bottom?
I think we could still use it here because this sets the tone. This really sets the tone of the interview.
Okay. So there is this outfit on television called News Nation. News Nation is based out of WGN in Chicago. They built a beautiful new TV studio. I've seen it. I've toured it. I know the people who've run this, and the whole gist behind News Nation was to try to carve out this path of quote-unquote journalism that was more centrist. It's neither pro-right nor pro-left. It is factual. It just gives facts. And they invested a crap ton of money to do this. So I found it intriguing when they hired Chris Cuomo to be their front guy for primetime. I'm like, that's not centrist. That's not moderate. Period. And he said something last night while interviewing Dr. Fauci. So the conversation with Chris Cuomo and Dr. Fauci, it's 10 minutes last night on News Nation. It's all predicated on this lab leak thing. All right, so people are saying it's a lab leak, but you say it's not. Walk us through this. They are clearly friends, and you're going to hear this, because Chris Cuomo is licking Fauci's shoes. And it is disgraceful. And if I was a colleague of his at News Nation, I would be furious, because this ain't called moderate. Go.
There's a lot of accusations back and forth that are so completely politically motivated. It's thick.
Well, that's because that's what works. I mean, you and I talk about this all the time. Full disclosure to the audience. Tony is not a politician. Doesn't get politics. And I was very worried when they put him in front, giving you guys messages about what was happening and what wasn't, that were often, really what I thought the president should have been saying. But in politics, blame works, Tony. And there's more currency in me saying Fauci's dirty than, hey, we should make sure we never have this happen again. Nobody votes for me on that basis. They vote for me because I found an enemy for them.
Wow.
Can I just say the absurdity of him saying Tony doesn't get politics?
Oh,
he's been there for 40 years.
50 years.
50.
He's the definition of politics. And by the way, Chris, nobody cares. Nobody cares about you. Seriously, I know you want everybody to think that you're super plugged in and that you guys are friends, and you might be friends, but that's rule number one of media. Used to be, at least, when I was a part of it. You ask questions. You don't choose sides. That's so gross. It's so predictable, and it's so common. So let's get into the meat and potatoes that goes back about 6 minutes in this conversation. And the whole reason that Chris Cuomo has Fauci on is because Fauci is feeling the heat. He's about to be thrown under the bus, and he knows it. So he's got to come out as being Mr. Open-minded. Now, we all have talked about ad nauseum the documents that Freedom of Information Act requests have gleaned that show Fauci basically coercing or coaching various researchers and epidemiologists who then got rewarded millions upon millions of dollars in research grant money from Fauci and the NIH to change their ideas about, where did this virus come from? Does it really feel like it came from a market when the Wuhan Institute of Virology is right over there and we know they're shady? Here's Chris Cuomo with his first dazzling question, number one.
I think it's pretty clear that it's really politically motivated. I mean, the idea of cover, I don't know what they're talking about covering up. I mean, I have been totally transparent throughout. And I'm not sure what they're talking about when they say cover up. I mean, it's no secret that almost all of the incumbent Republican politicians that were running and those who were running for the first time had interspersed in their campaigns, fire Fauci, indict Fauci, hang Fauci. It's a political thing.
Wait, I thought he wasn't a political person. Well, Chris Cuomo just told us that. He's not inherently political. Well, apparently he is, because people are pushing back. Fauci knows it. Chris Cuomo knows it. He says, hey, I'll throw you a life preserver. All you have to do is cling on and I will drag you to safety.
And newsflash, Tony, most Americans right now, think you should be looked into.
100%. And I think it blew up when Elon Musk tweeted out his pronouns were prosecute Fauci. He says what everybody else thinks, right? Now, you can't defend yourself when you're not really defending yourself, when you're pointing fingers other places. Who's the number one person everybody likes to blame?
Donald J. Trump.
That's it. Oh my gosh, Brock, you got it. Number two, here we go.
Back during the Trump administration, I had to, in order to preserve my own personal integrity, as well as to fulfill my responsibility to the American public, to tell the truth when the president was saying things that were just not true. Things like hydroxychloroquine is a cure, it's going to fix everything.
Okay, well, let's stop there, because it's so interesting that you're still saying that, Tony, because Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to jump on board now, and he's going to rebut what you just said using Nigeria as an example. Here we go.
The death rate in our country was 3,000 people dead from COVID per million population. In Nigeria, which has a 1% vaccination rate and where the entire population basically is on hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin for malaria and river blindness, they had a death rate of 14 people per million population. So they didn't even have a pandemic.
Yeah.
These were the countries that Tony Fauci said, oh, there's going to be mayhem in the developing world. Well, guess what? There was no vaccinations available to the developing world, and there was no COVID deaths.
I'm no mathematician, guys. I totally tell you this all the time, right? I'm no scientist, but I can sure ask a question or two and connect some dots. So let's review this. So America, most vaccinated place, you know, really, and we had the strictest policies, 3,000 deaths per million versus Nigeria, which had 1% vaccination, but used hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin for other things anyway, because they're among the safest and most widely used drugs for antiparasitics. And they had 14 deaths per million, 3,014. He's right. I mean, Tony Fauci's right. That hydroxychloroquine, I'm so glad they pushed back against that. God forbid we should have been armed with simple ways to protect ourselves. Maybe we wouldn't have had so many freaking die. Times like these, I need my nourishment. I'm glad I've got my Field of Greens Brickhouse Nutrition Shaker right next to me. A scoop of Field of Greens, it's a granular powdery thing. You scoop it in. This has got a little ball in it and jobbles it up for me, and it makes it nice and easy for me to drink. I drink one in the morning and one in the late afternoon when I'm getting hangry. And I get my daily allowance of fruits and vegetables, and I also protect myself against a lot of things out there that are yucky, right? This is a prebiotic thing, and they write this very biologically medical-oriented thing, which I like. It says it's scientifically chosen. Field of Greens, the formula, each ingredient in it, scientifically chosen to support vital organs, including your heart, your lungs, kidney health as well. Others support immune system, blood pressure, metabolism, and healthy weight loss. Not to mention the fruits and vegetables, 12 in each serving. I'm like, seriously? One scoop in the morning, one scoop in the afternoon, and the results to your hair, skin, and nails, undeniable. If you're interested in trying it, you've got nothing to lose. But you do have something to lose in terms of the cash flow. You're going to save 15%. Go to fieldofgreens.com. You're going to use my name, Wendy. Fieldofgreens.com. Promo code Wendy at checkout. Save 15%. If you like it so much that you want to subscribe, get a monthly subscription, get a new canister every month, you'll save an additional 10% for a total of 25%. Fieldofgreens.com. Promo code Wendy. So, Fauci. Oh, I couldn't get behind what Trump was doing, talking about hydroxychloroquine, which works. And we're just getting started. You think we're hot now? What? Wait for it next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. So you've got to love Robert Kennedy Jr. And if you listen closely, I know he has a speech impediment. I don't know what his problem is, but I know he struggles with it. And he still goes out there and he still talks. So thank you for bearing with that. But he's going to talk about remdesivir. Remdesivir, which we know has killed how many people? It's not even a debate. We know that hospitals pushed remdesivir that hospitals pushed the COVID test because they got money for it. We know that they pushed ventilation because they got money for it. If a patient was hospitalized, they got compensated for it. Ventilated, yes. If they died, that was the windfall. That is so utterly disgusting. And they can deny it all they want. But Tony Fauci is all about remdesivir. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. drops it here.
Our country had the strictest adherence to all of these protocols, including the use of remdesivir, which is enormously toxic and completely, utterly inefficacious. But, you know, it was Tony Fauci's pet drug. We were the only ones that had it for a year. And we, in our country, we have 4.2% of the global population. We had about 18% of the, almost 20% of the global deaths from COVID. How's that a success story? We did everything we were supposed to do in this country more than any other country except for Australia. And we have the highest body count of any country in the world.
Under Tony Fauci. What a guy, Dr. Science. What an amazing person. Now, this is the strategy when you know you're hosed and your chickens have come home and the Barbie is fired up and they're about to get toasty. All right. You've got to get into some science jargon. You got to make it sound good. So you're going to talk about epidemiologists and virologists, and we're using this genome sequence. This is how Fauci is going to bloviate his way and say that experts still agree. No, it wasn't a lab thing. It came from nature. You lying fink. Go.
We don't know definitively where or how the virus evolved. We don't know that. And I have kept an open mind from day one about keeping all possibilities open. There are two possibilities. One, somehow it was worked on in a lab and leaked out. And the other, it was a natural occurrence from the wet market in Wuhan. If you look at the data that are available, that scientists who are outstanding, evolutionary scientists from all over the world, not just Americans, from all over the world, Australia, the European Union, Canada, some from the United States, have very carefully analyzed the data based on epidemiology, virology, geospatial, and have come to the conclusion that it's more likely that it came from a natural occurrence from the wet market. Having said that, I don't come to any conclusion. I still keep a completely open mind.
He just lied to you and told you he has an open mind, though. I'm open-minded about how much I lie to you. That's how open-minded I am. Cuomo, as a follow-up. Wait, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense, yo. It's almost like this has been set up. Go.
So it came from a wet market in the same place where there's this huge lab that does all the kind of development of exactly what this thing is. That's some coincidence.
It's a coincidence, but, you know, there are so many labs all over China that have both labs and wet markets. If it were in Beijing or Shanghai, you'd be saying the same thing. You have a coincidence at the same time that the big issue is that it's a big city. If it were in a big city, it likely would not have evolved into a pandemic.
You are now dumber. I'm sorry. I just made you dumber. Just like that. I took away some of your brain function.
And newsflash, Tony, you didn't fund the other ones. You funded Wuhan.
This is so beyond obnoxious. It is wholly unacceptable. The good news is we have it all on record. Because at some point, he's going to have to fry for this. Every single step of the way was wrong. Every single thing he has said to us has been the wrong decision, the wrong therapeutic, the wrong information, and then pointing fingers. It's political. It was Trump's fault. People on the GOP, they hate me. And then, of course, the final card to drop. And now I'm getting death threats. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? I have one more piece of sound from him. Got to have you hear it, okay? And then we're going to go into this plan to completely destroy California. Why? Well, when you have reparations for $5 million per person, what the heck else is going to happen? Crazy Train, next. Hour 3 of the Wendy Bell Radio program on deck.